Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's doing well and that you had a good weekend. It was not a great football weekend around here in terms of the results, but a fun one nonetheless. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are we doing?
Doing okay. Yeah, I wonder how many people had Vols blown out. Titans should have won and lost in overtime going into this one on the bingo card. Whatever that means.
Probably not a ton.
Probably not a lot. Yeah.
That was quite the weekend of football around here with the Tennessee teams. Michelle, as she's in there working, and I'm interrupting her working at the moment. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great this morning. And yeah, I was just telling Robbie, Joe, I think everything I said on my Saturday show pretty much didn't happen. And I was completely wrong with all of it.
Welcome to the club.
That happens. That does happen sometimes. What a weekend. We got a lot to get to. We're going to talk about all of it today here on the show. The Titans and their performance last night in Kansas City. They lose in overtime. 20-17, the final score. We'll get all over that game today. Corey Curtis from News 2 joining us at 8 o'clock. We'll take your thoughts all show long on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Vols get blown out on Saturday at Sanford Stadium down there in Athens. The Dogs were barking, as they say, Joe Rex Road. Georgia wins 27-13 in a game where, actually, I think, Joe, the score for Tennessee maybe looks a little bit closer than it actually was on the field out there on Saturday, which I guess could ultimately end up being a good thing for Tennessee at the end of the day. But that was a pretty dominant performance from the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, I think the score is pretty kind to Tennessee. You know, I mean, look, they left some touchdowns on the table too, but Georgia went pretty conservative, and the rain did have some impact in the second half too. I think on both offenses throwing the ball. It was domination. And I got to say, I mean, my biggest takeaway from that game is not about Tennessee. It really is about Georgia. Like, I mean, they've got the team again. They've got the team again. It's incredible that you could lose 5 first-round picks and 8 draft picks off a defense and still be that loaded and just good. They're just so sound. They make every open field tackle. They win it up front. They've got pros in the back end. It's the national championship favorite, period.
Well, they were awesome in that game. And the defense that we talked about, you know, maybe not being as good as last year's defense, they looked as good as last year's defense on Saturday. Now, I still don't think, you know, the overall picture is quite the same for that Georgia defense as it was a year ago. But, I mean, Joe, the thing that stood out to me is, you know, Kelee Ringo and those guys in the secondary, I think, did an outstanding job on Tennessee. And the pass rush that we talked about not being very successful thus far for Georgia in terms of the sack number, well, that changed on Saturday. They got after Hendon Hooker all day long. They were able to corral him. They were able to get him to the ground a few times. I thought some of the decision-making by Hendon Hooker was not very good. And then when the balls were thrown, I mean, it's a one-on-one matchup with Ringo and Tillman. And, you know, most of the time you'll take your chances with Cedric Tillman out there, and Ringo comes down with the ball. And just one of those games where Georgia looked like the better team in pretty much every conceivable way.
Yeah, look, if you really want to boil down Tennessee, they are where they are. Yes, great scheme, and you got some great talent, you know, offensive line talent and the receivers. But if you really want to boil it down, they're where they are because Hendon Hooker has been incredible. If you don't have someone who can process information quickly, get the ball out quickly, get it there accurately, hit those deep balls when they're there, all the stuff that he does, and then when needed, break out of the pocket and make big plays with his feet, then great. You can draw up your offense on a napkin and impress everybody. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, he's the reason that they got to this stage more than anything on Saturday. And to me, look, his performance was the biggest problem. There were plays there to be made. It's very easy to sit here and say from the press box, you know, why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? But there were a lot of those sacks. Georgia brought some pressures that got there, especially late. There were a couple that got there fast, you know, and they didn't protect him. There's nothing he can do. But I'd say four of the six, he had a lot of time. And, you know, you got to at least just make the decision to throw the ball away, and he didn't do that. So it was just, you know, it was a rough day for him. I mean, I start with giving Georgia credit, but ultimately, you know, Hendon Hooker – I think lost the Heisman. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, he lost the Heisman, and he was the guy. I mean, I'll be interested to see this week where that goes. But when you have a game like this and you perform like that, that's what's going to happen. You can win them and you can lose them in those moments. But at the same time, you know, you got three games left. He and they should get back rolling. And I'm not convinced that if they play Georgia again, if they get Georgia away from that place made my head hurt. Like, literally, I had a pulsing headache at the end of that game because it was so outrageously loud in there. I mean, Eric Ainge, man, dude, just stop.
Just be quiet.
Whatever you're talking about. Like, it's so – I mean, that place was incredible.
All that barking.
A lot of barking going on.
Well, there was – I sent you guys a nice video.
You did.
Of an adult man. I wish I would have been filming earlier, though, because, like every player that went by, he and, like, his wife or girlfriend were like, ow. And I was like, gosh, you guys are really aggressive. But I'm not convinced that Tennessee, you know, where would it be? How about, you know, SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, and, you know, with both fan bases represented, with weather taken out as a factor, that Tennessee couldn't come out and have a very productive, high scoring game against Georgia. So we'll see if they get another opportunity. They actually, Saturday was pretty good for them in that way, other than their own performance.
Yep, Clemson goes down to Notre Dame. Alabama loses to LSU. You know, Ohio State didn't look overly impressive against Northwestern. Now the winds were blowing about 85 miles an hour in that game as well. But it was a pretty good day for Tennessee outside of their own result as it relates to the college football playoff picture. We'll get more into that coming up a little bit later in the show. Also break down more of Tennessee versus Georgia a little bit later in the show as well. Joe, the Titans last night, they fall 20-17 to the Chiefs. For the most part, I thought did a really good job at corralling that Kansas City offense. You know, you talk about a defense that just played their guts out last night for the Titans, made some big plays in the game. For a long stretch of the game, Kansas City really couldn't get anything going offensively outside of the first couple of drives. And then Patrick Mahomes gets loose on a 3rd-and-17. And, Joe, it just kind of felt like the game changed a little bit after that scramble by Mahomes. He then scrambles for a touchdown later. They get the 2-point conversion. The game goes to overtime, and the Titans lose 20-17 last night. There's a lot to get into in this game, but I guess we'll just start, Joe, with your impressions of the Titans on the road last night and the defensive performance that they had against Patrick Mahomes in that offense.
Yeah, it was really impressive. I mean, really impressive. And, man, they just frustrate the heck out of that team, you know. And, you know, basically Mahomes, I mean, very much reminded me, it wasn't quite the same thing, but that 20-yard run on third down reminded me of the run he had late in the first half of the AFC Championship game when, you know, Titans were flailing all over the place and, you know, trying to, like, strip the ball out and instead of just tackling him. And that was the play of that game that changed that game and put the Chiefs instead of the Titans in the Super Bowl. And and that play last night by him, you know, somewhat reminiscent of it. He's just like, you. I mean, Chris Collinsworth, who had some very weird analysis.
He did.
By the way, but he was right on the rush lanes. You know, like, if you don't keep the integrity and basically keep him inside there, well, you can be in huge, huge trouble, either with him making a play like that or rolling right and, oh my gosh, he found someone 50 yards downfield, which he also did that in overtime. So, it's a tough loss, but boy, the Titans defense is legit. I mean, I think the biggest problem with that is now Bud Dupree hip again comes up. And I
Yeah, I'm about done with that guy.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if he's not going to be – if that's what it's going to be, then there's limitations, you know? I mean, I think that you – I mean, some of those other guys got after it for sure, and Autry was amazing again, but – That's my only hesitation was saying like this is like a championship defense is one of its really important players can't stay healthy. But the secondary was really good. And then you think about, you know, Hooker not being part of it. I mean, this defense, David Long flying all yeah. just flying around, man. Guy is a heck of a football player. So they, you know, the defense deserve better. They absolutely deserve better. They deserve to win.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jaden from Hendersonville, whom I saw yesterday. Good to see you yesterday, Jaden. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, Robbie, nice to see you as well. I thought I'd call in and just – I have four quick points that I just want to touch on real quick about the game last night, and I'll try and make it quick. But first thing I wanted to start on was, I mean, when is enough going to be enough on the O-line at left tackle and left guard? Mainly more left tackle with Daly, but – it was atrocious last night. Malik couldn't find any space. Like I said, it was atrocious. My second point, what really hurt the Titans late in that game and late in the fourth quarter and overtime is just Malik's inexperience. We knew it coming in, but I honestly didn't expect it to be that bad. My third point, defense 100% deserves better from the offense, in my opinion. They outright played their butts off last night, and the offense couldn't show for it. And my fourth point is this AJ trade is really starting to hurt the Titans. And I think it's been hurting the Titans because they just do not have receivers that can get open. For example, Cody Hollister blocking on a pass play on the last play of the game. But like I said, Rob, nice to see you yesterday. Hope you all have a great day. I'll leave it there.
Thanks for the call, Jaden. Appreciate you. I mean, AJ Brown was having fun watching the Titans last night, according to his Twitter. Looked like he was really enjoying himself watching that Titans receiving core last night. He continues to press send on the Twitter.
Let it go. Let it go.
He did sort of apologize.
Yeah. I'm sure it was fully sincere. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We're off and running on the Titans and the Vols. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans coming up next. Get into the performance of this defense and take a look at what this game means for the Titans as they move forward here as well. All your thoughts all show long. Phone and text line 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
In our team, defensively, I mean, we fought to the end, you know, we made them kick a field goal in overtime, but, I mean, sometimes, like Coach Graves said, you fight and sometimes you don't get the end result. You know, they end up winning the game, but, you know, proud of the team, man. We fought to the end, and, you know, that's why I enjoy and love coming into the building and enjoy taking the field with these guys because at the end of the day, we're going to fight to the end.
That was Jeffrey Simmons last night after the 20-17 loss for the Titans against Kansas City. Titans dropped to 5-3 on the season. Still in pretty good shape in the AFC South. Joe, a gutsy effort last night by the defense. Kansas City ran 91 offensive plays last night. 91 offensive plays. Patrick Mahomes threw the ball 68 times in the game. So you look at his numbers and you're like, wow, Patrick Mahomes lit up the Titans defense. He threw for 446 yards. That was not how that game went last night. I mean, he threw the ball 68 times, and when you throw the ball for 446 yards and your average is 6.6 a catch, that's it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's astounding. I mean, it's just the numbers are incredible. First of all, you know, again, they got 20 points. You know, they needed an incredible couple of runs, especially one by him, to get to double figures at the end of regulation, okay? I mean, and they had the ball the entire game because the Titans offense, after the explosive stuff early that gave them the lead, you know, just had nothing at all. So that was look, even watching like Jeffrey Simmons, who was doubled all night, held quite a bit, and was just running all over. I mean, that guy, it was exhausting to watch him on some plays because it's like, holy cow, that guy has been out there all night. In fact, I haven't seen the snap counts, but it seems like he was out there for the most part all night and just running all over the field.
Well, he could barely get off the field the last overtime possession. Like, he could barely get off the field.
Yeah, like, just holy cow. There's, you know, give him another week off before the next game, you know. But this is one of those games where, first of all, the defense was tremendous. I mean, there's no other way about it. The offense, again, just disappears in the second half. It's not even the offense, obviously, because Malik Willis was quarterbacking it. And you know, it ended so poorly for him. And it was like, oh, man, you can't do that, the back-to-back sacks. He also deserved better from his receivers.
He did.
Game. He and Mike Vrabel said as much after the game. I mean, look, they basically simplified this to throwing outside the numbers some fades where you know, like, there's no safety involvement. There's no safety read needed. Throw the fade. And he, you know, we saw that in camp. He, along with having a big arm, he does have some really nice touch sometimes in those throws, and completed a couple. They had some nice plays to Austin Hooper, but Chris Conley and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine in particular, you know, like, they have to come down with those passes, and you get zero catches from your wide receivers in a game, just in the NFL.
Cannot happen. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Corey from Springfield. Corey, thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks, fellas. I just wanted to touch on something last night. Second to last possession in the fourth quarter for the Titans. We're still in the game. We still very much so have a chance to win it. And yet again, our offensive coordinator puts Malik Willis in a bad situation, and it comes down to play calling. We run the ball on first down. We get 2 yards, which is fairly typical for us on first down if you're doing your trend analysis throughout the season. But the clock management at the time was so critical, but yet we choose to throw the ball 2 more times after that. One, we're giving the Chiefs more time on the clock. Two, we need to keep their defense on the field to wear them out. We are a running team, okay? It's also quite apparent that our O-line, they can run block, but they are not spectacular at pass blocking. I think that Malik Willis is going to be a good quarterback for us in the future. I think that the OC toward the end of the game put him in a couple bad situations, but we need to run the ball. We could have taken that game last night if we had kept the ball on the ground.
Hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Corey. I mean, I will say there were some times in the second half, Joe, and I realize, you know, you're trying to be less predictable than you were against the Texans of just turn around and handing it off every play. So I realize that. There were some times in the second half yesterday where I was like, where's Derrick Henry? I mean, the guy's averaging 7 yards a carry, and it felt like he barely got the ball in the second half yesterday.
Yeah, well, I think the one in particular, because, you know, the 7 yards of carry, he had a 56-yarder. So it wasn't consistent. But you get the ball at the 50. You're up 17-9. Henry going left for 4. Henry goes right for 7. Really nice run.
Yep.
Now you're at their 39. Okay, Henry gets a yard, you know. I mean, look, you're 2nd and 9 at the 38. At that point, I mean, look, it's not like you feel great about Randy Bullock from 50, but you could get a 50-yarder from Randy Bullock. You have 5 more yards. A few, you know, you get 3 or 4, and it's worth possibly trying it, right? And the thing is, it's that next play was a play I just referenced. I mean, it was there. It was a perfect pass. It was the element of surprise. And, you know, I mean, Snead gets some credit also for coverage. He was close, but, like, you want Westbrook Kennedy to come down with that. Okay, he doesn't. So third and nine from the 38. I mean, the play they called, you know, was a little screen to Hilliard, which has worked. It was just totally diagnosed by Bolton. He just completely blew it up. But that sequence right there, you could make the case, you know what? Tackle him two more times in a row. If you're thinking about this and you're the Titans, you're like, you know what? I think we can get five more yards on two more handoffs to Derrick Henry. And then you get a field goal there to make it 20-9. You know, that might be it. I mean, who knows? We know what happened on the next possession, but it also does 20-9 make it different? You know, I don't know, but that time for sure. You know, the second play in overtime was actually, like, if you watch the play, it was a receiver screen to Swaim, and it was there. And I don't know why Willis reacted the way he did, but, I mean, at that point, on that play, like, if you just stand in there, take the hit, and just flip it to him, like, I think it's a first down easily, and it might even be, I mean, you know, it's Swaim, so it's not like he's covering – he's not like Chigakonkwo, who, by the way, you see what they have with him early in the first play of the game. But he gets first down, and then who knows from there. So that play, that's just on Willis, you know. I do agree, though, just in general, Derrick Henry should have more carries than he did. He only had – what did they have, 40?
They had 48 offensive plays, and he had 17 carries. It's got to be better.
Yeah. Yeah, now granted, now look, that ratio is – if you have a normal game, you're in the 60s, and so he's about in the 20s, about a third of your plays. That's what it should be, but still. In this game, it should be more than that. And I don't know why, beyond just give it to Derrick Henry, because look, yes, he averaged 6'8 on the night. Take the 50, take the two big ones out, he averaged about 2 a carry, okay? I mean, the Chiefs did a good job on most of his carries after those two big ones early. But that said, I think the read option stuff using Willis early, I'm like, I don't know why they got away from that. Show them that, make them think about that, and that's what he can do for you. I mean, he had 8 carries for 40 yards. I thought we'd see more of that last week. That's where I'm a little confused. Like, just the ground in general, whatever you do. You know, they got Hilliard a few carries. They had him 3 carries, and they were decent. Like, that's what you have to do.
I hear you on the two big runs. Other than that, they stopped him a little bit. But the two big runs are why you keep giving him the ball, because he can pop that off at any moment. At any moment, he can pop that off.
Sure.
And I don't know. It felt like he was barely getting the ball in the second half. And to your point from earlier, like, look, Willis is making decisions right now that I think you expect from Malik Willis, where he's at in his development. I mean, like you said, the Swaim play was there. You know, I thought there were times where he held on to the ball way too long last night as well. But also, like, when plays are there to be made, you need your wide receiver to come down with the ball. Like, it was you could not throw the football any better than Malik Willis threw the ball to Chris Conley on that play.
No.
You could not throw fantastic the football bro. Any better than the play that he threw the ball to Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. I don't care if it's Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, whoever quarterback you want to throw out there. You couldn't throw it better than Malik Willis threw it on those two plays. And it hit your receivers in the hands. They need to come down with it. And, I mean, you could tell Vrabel in the postgame press conference last night was pretty upset by that. Like, catch the ball. And the state of this Titans receiving core right now is just – it is atrocious. And I just – they need Treylon Burks back in a big way. And I don't know what Treylon Burks is going to be able to bring to the table. But my goodness, could they have used him last night.
Yeah, look, it's got – I mean, that's all there is now. It's Treylon Burks. He can come off IR, and we'll see if he's ready to do that. They need him right away. I mean, Denver's not good, but they still, like, this offense, as good as this defense was last night and looks overall, this offense is also can keep any other team in a game with the Titans too, right? And here's another here's the rare example of a close game in which the Titans lose. No, it's a bad situation. You know, on the Henry thing, no, you're right. Look, ultimately he's your best player. He's got to get the ball more than that. I'm just saying, like, you know, it wasn't consistent. You know, the Chiefs were loaded up to stop him. I still would rather go down giving him the ball than anything else, right? Especially with no chance of passing the ball. You know, another thing with him, and Rich Eisen tweeted this during the game, and we've talked about this, but so Derrick Henry gets 28 snaps, 58% of the snaps. Those third and mediums, you know, I just feel like having him on the field is still worthwhile, you know. Third and nine, third and 11, you know, where a Hilliard is a better route runner, pass catcher, and might be able to actually get that for you. Okay. I mean, I get that. But third and medium, keep Derrick Henry in the
field. Well, there was a third and four they had the ball last night where he was not on the field for. And to me, that just – that can't happen. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Titans and the Chiefs coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
What do you think of the whole multiple two-point scenario situation?
What did I think? I thought that, you know, there were some penalties, and then, you know, he extended the play and was able to score, you know. So wherever they keep putting the ball, I've told our defense, and Shane and the coaches have all told them, wherever they put the ball down, we have to play defense, whether that's on the one, you know, that's a fourth and a half a yard or whatever it may be. So, you know, we'll keep fighting. And we'll get back to work. And that's what I love. I love the resiliency. I love our players. And we've asked them to, you know, try to upgrade our standards and how we prepare. We've asked them to understand that they got a power to choose how we respond. And, you know, that'll give us a good opportunity to do that this week.
That was Mike Vrabel after the game last night, a 20-17 loss for the Titans against the Kansas City Chiefs. We are taking your reaction all show long. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Dave from Old Hickory. Dave, thanks for calling in.
Good morning, fellas. Hey, if you guys remember, I called in a couple of weeks ago complaining about the entertainment level of this team.
Yep.
I want to say that last night I was thoroughly impressed. I thought that they played much better. I mean, defensively was just, you know, you can't say more about those guys than what they were able to do against Patrick Mahomes and that explosive offense. They made their plays, which they're going to make because those guys are superstars, but we held our own there. I will say that I was talking to some guys last night who were former players, and they were saying that we weren't in a position quarterback-wise to win that game because Malik had been charged with not losing the game. He'd been held so much in check that he was never able to get comfortable early on. There was no slants. There were no things that would get him comfortable in the passing game. And then when he had to do it, he just wasn't able to. So I think that's part of the reason why we're coming away with an L. But other than that, the performance was very strong. I want to say this, though, and if you guys could talk about it a little bit, the officiating this year, not just in last night's game, but throughout, I mean, it's just, it's not bad per se. The calls aren't wrong per se, but it's overwhelming the play. I mean, it's absolutely taken away from the game because we all know that you can blow the whistle every single snap of the ball. You really can. I mean, there's something there everywhere. And it's part of football. I mean, some of the plays, I saw a commentator several times yesterday watching what they were saying that, you know, they go back and look and they're like, oh, they're calling that. And, you know, they can't speak out against the NFL. But even they're like, this call is so ticky-tack. It's so whatever. And it's just, it really is taking away from the game and it's changing the flow of the game. So I want to know what you guys think about that.
Hey, thanks for the call, Dave. I mean, look, Joe, I was pretty vocal about it on Twitter last night. I mean, I thought the officiating was atrocious in that game. And, you know, we can talk about the Travis Kelce play where he's ripping off Josh Kalu's helmet in the end zone, and Josh Kalu's the one gets called for a penalty there. You know, the thing that bothered me about the officiating, and you know, obviously there was some bad calls there. Your Titans fans are mad about the Cody Hollister blocking the back call as well. Like, those type of things are going to happen. That doesn't upset me as much as, like, you're sitting there calling holding on Aaron Brewer on a Derrick Henry run that just totally derails a drive there. And I turn around and I look, and Jeffrey Simmons is getting held. I'm not exaggerating. Almost every play, Jeffrey Simmons is getting held last night on the, I think it was the play before Kansas City scored a touchdown. T.R. Tartt is running after Patrick Mahomes, and there are two guys grabbing him by the waist. Nothing called last night. Those are the things that drive me nuts. You're going to have bad calls, and you're going to have, you know, missed calls as an official when it starts to relate to the Travis Kelce stuff, even though that's ridiculous to me. But when you're calling holding, call holding. There's holding all the time last night, and that drove me nuts.
Yeah, look, I agree that the Tartt hold was pretty blatant. There was one earlier in the game because, yeah, look, Simmons, offensive linemen are finding any way they can to hold him, and this is what happens to great players. There was one where Trey Smith got a lot of jersey. I'm like, how do you miss that one? The Kalu thing, Kalu did hold before the whole thing with the helmet. I mean, Kalu tackled him. So I don't know why people are freaking out about that one.
Call both.
You could do that. Yeah, you could offset it. Replay. So it's replay, and it's not a yard and a half closer. But yeah, no, they got the Hollister one was weird too. I mean, I guess he sort of like put his, you know, kind of pushed the guy a little bit. But look, Vrabel, when he goes through that one, I'm sure is going to have some choice words, and I'm sure there'll be a colorfully worded email to somebody as well out of this. You know,
he did throw out the NFL officiating Twitter handle last night in his post game press conference.
He loves to do that. He loves doing that. Like you said, I mean, it's part of the deal. I do think that the bigger picture out of all that is Simmons. Like, if I'm the Titans, that's where I'm focusing. Like, guys, you know, I mean, look at this. Because they can probably, once they go through it, they could probably find five or six great examples of, like if you call holding in an NFL game and there's never a call on Jeffrey Simmons being held, like
then what are we doing?
How does that happen? Yeah, how does that happen?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have plenty of examples to choose from if you're the Titans and you want to clip something up and send it into the NFL or – you know, who knows? Maybe you want to tweet him at NFL officiating, as Mike Vrabel threw out there last night. Could be something that you do as well. Like, as far as, you know, the offensive part of this thing, you know, Dave called in and I thought actually at the beginning of the game, Joe, I thought the Titans did a pretty good job of getting him involved and getting him comfortable. I mean, there's the first play to Okonkwo, which is just a great play by him. To break through and get the 48-yarder there. But I thought even in the read option game, they did have some quick, you know, kind of quick hitter passing looks. Austin Hooper got involved pretty early in the game as well. By the way, a great back shoulder throw from Malik Willis to Austin Hooper down by the goal line for the first Derrick Henry touchdown as well. So I thought they did a decent job in the first part of the game and trying to get him comfortable and get him in there. But the bottom line, Joe, at the end of the day is like Malik Willis – it's just not ready to be a starting NFL quarterback at the moment. And the more the time that goes on and the game wore on last night, I think the more evident that became. Now, that's also why it's that important where when plays are there and are available to you, you got to make them. And the Titans wide receivers didn't make them last night. And I know we're talking about Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chris Conley. So I understand the expectations are not overly high from those two guys. But when your margin for error is that thin in the passing game, when your quarterback does make plays, you got to come down with the ball, and they couldn't do it last night.
Yeah, and you know, Dave earlier on the call talking about get him involved, some slants and stuff. They're not using the middle of the field. They're not saying Malik, read this coverage, read this blitz, call a new protection, and use the middle of the field. Again, it's going to be screens. It's going to be running the ball, or I think it was the right – like, basically, they know he throws that fade well. Again, if you're going to throw the fade outside the numbers, you don't worry about safety involvement. You don't worry about what coverage they're in. It's going to be man on the outside, you know? Like, I mean, if that's the route, then it's man. Whatever zone they're in, it's match coverage, it's man. So throw it up, then you don't have to worry about the safeties or reading anything. And he threw some beautiful passes in that context. Nothing else was going to be involved. Nothing else will be involved. This is why the Titans are going to have a hard time winning many games, you know, or they're going to have a hard time getting much offense going until Tannehill comes back. And as we know, there's still offensive struggles with Tannehill, but at least now you have the playbook and you can try to have some semblance of balance whenever he comes back. So that's just the reality of the situation.
Well, there's speaking of Tannehill, there's one part about him and a wording that was thrown out there last night that has me pretty concerned if I'm a Titans fan. We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
He was listed as questionable. Ryan didn't play in the game. There's so many guys, Paul, that bust their ass out there tonight that I would be more than happy to talk about. So if we could ask about the players that actually played in the game, that'd be a great place to start.
A little bit of a spicy Vrabel after the game last night. The Titans fall 20-17 to the Kansas City Chiefs. No Ryan Tannehill in the game last night for the Titans. Malik Willis getting the start at quarterback. You are listening to Robbie and Rexwood. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning. So, Joe, we know it's an ankle sprain for Ryan Tannehill, thanks to your Capital J journalism work a couple of weeks ago for getting to the bottom of that. The question has been, how severe is the ankle sprain? What type of an ankle sprain is Ryan Tannehill dealing with? And Schefter put this tweet out yesterday morning. Said, quote, Titans have closely guarded their quarterback plans for Sunday night and are hoping not to reveal them until pregame warm-ups. Quarterback Ryan Tannehill is listed as questionable due to an ankle injury and was spotted in a walking boot over a week ago with a possible high ankle sprain. So I don't know if that's really anything telling us definitive from Schefter that we didn't already know. But the point is, Joe, he's now missed two games in a row. And honestly, from the videos that TD and Kaharski and Buck and who all the people that put out there last night, it didn't really look to me like he was ever really that close to playing last night. I mean, he went out there and warmed up, but he never really moved around. He was just kind of throwing stationary. So how concerned are you right now with Ryan Tannehill's injury that maybe this is going on for another couple of weeks and they could be without him for the next couple of games as well?
Yep, absolutely. You nailed it. By the way, so I can defend my buddy PK. Like, if no one last night in the postgame presser asked about Ryan Tannehill, then they should all be fired.
I agree.
Mean, come on. Like, you're not going to ask about Ryan Tannehill. I understand Vrabel's emotional. Spicy Vrabel, especially after a loss. But, yeah. As far as your point, yeah. I think there's a pretty decent chance here that there's no Tannehill for Denver and there's no Tannehill in Lambeau. And then maybe you have that extra time. If you look at the timeline of a high ankle sprain, you know, 4 to 6 weeks is typical. Again, you can try to do the, what the heck is that surgery called?
Tightrope.
I always forget. Yes. So Cedric Tillman did tightrope surgery and still he wasn't back for how many weeks? 4 to 6, right?
Yeah.
Whatever it was. I mean, he missed,
I think it's five.
Four or five games. Okay. Yeah. So even with the surgery to try to accelerate the healing process, And you're also, by the way, talking about a much younger person than Ryan Tannehill. That's what happened. So, yeah, I think you're dead on. I think at this point, look, I don't know that. I guess you could also look at it like, was this purely window dressing for the Chiefs that Tannehill comes out to the field, travels with the team? I mean, I think if there was no chance, they knew there was no chance for Houston, so why even travel him? I think if there was zero chance, it would have. I think it's weird to travel him.
Agreed.
He did go to the field. He did try to walk around. But yeah, like you said, some of those guys got video. The broadcast got a lot of, you know, NBC got a lot of video of it. Very little movement from him. You know, very, very little movement from him out there. No running, no jogging. So to me, that kind of tells you where he is. Possibly not close here to returning. So I think at this point, I would call it more likely than not that it's Malik Willis for a third straight week against the Broncos.
Well, and obviously that's very concerning if you're the Titans as you move forward here. You know, we've already got a couple of texts this morning talking about Jared and saying that the Titans not going to get a backup quarterback was the reason they lost the game last night. But I will say, like, if you're the Titans, you've obviously had more information than we've had on this. Like, if you were concerned about Tannehill missing significant time, do you think that they maybe should have taken a look at a backup quarterback before the NFL trading deadline last week? I don't know. I mean, it doesn't matter now. Hindsight's 20/20, and it's going to be Malik Willis moving forward if it's not Ryan Tannehill. But, you know, I will say, watching him warm up last night and how limited it seemed like he was with the videos that were coming out, that was pretty concerning to me. Like, I saw a guy last night that you got a game coming up on Sunday against Denver and then a very short turnaround after that on Thursday in Lambeau. I think it's a very real possibility that they're without him the next two games. And, look, I realize the next two games are nowhere near as daunting as they were when the schedule came out. I don't think Denver's very good, and I know the Packers aren't good. So it's one of those things that maybe you could get by just with this defense alone, with the way, especially if they play the way they played last night. But not having Ryan Tannehill in there is not a good thing for this offense. I think we've learned that through two games.
Yeah, no doubt. On the backup quarterback front, first of all, we don't know that they didn't look. Who would have been?
I mean, Jared keeps throwing out trading for Sean Mannion.
Sean Mannion, yeah. I think the more arguable point there is, and by the way, speaking of Jared, a whole bunch of people sent me the what Steve McNair would have played.
Yeah.
How stupid can you be to send a tweet like that? Seriously.
I
just do a mini rant for about 30 seconds? How stupid can you be?
If Steve McNair had a high ankle sprain, probably wouldn't play. Just my guess.
Did he not miss games in his career?
He did.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Okay. Anyway, I think the more arguable point, and I made it before the game, I actually don't feel as strongly about it now. I felt a lot stronger about it after watching Willis against Houston, but I think Logan Woodside still could have been a better choice and still could be. Now, again, just some of the throws Willis made on those fades and just the run element that you got to tap into that they did in the first half and they went away from for the most part.
Yeah.
That still might give you a better chance than Woodside. I mean, again, I'm not saying Woodside's good, but I thought going into the game, like, you've got to be able to do something in the middle of the field and get the ball out quickly and, you know, just a short passing game that you have a better chance of having with Woodside than Willis. But then there's other things that Willis can do that Woodside can't. So there's not a great choice there. And it's easy. Yeah, we can hindsight 20/20 on getting a backup quarterback. Let's go through the list of NFL teams and how many of them are happy with their backup quarterback and feel like their backup quarterback could win a football game for them. There's about probably 5 to 7 teams.
Agreed. And I will say, like, the receiving part of it continues to be one that just boggles my mind. Like, I understand Malik Willis completed 5 passes last night. So it's not like we're talking about, you know, some gigantic opportunity for these receivers. But, I mean, if they're not going to make plays, I think it's pretty obvious at this point they're not going to make plays in this offense, at least the group that's out there currently. Maybe that changes with Burks coming back. Like, you get the ball to Okonkwo on the first play of the game, and he looks like the Incredible Hulk out there running through the entire Chiefs defense. You know, they tried to get it to him again a couple of times on actual passing routes, but, like, just – We've talked about this with TD, and TD's been very consistent on it. Like, find ways to get that guy the ball. Like, that first play of the game last night was a pretty good example of why it's important to get that guy the ball, because get it in his hands, he's got a chance to do something with it after.
Yeah, no, for sure. And he didn't play a lot, and that's the thing. It's, you know, it was Kelsey and not Kelsey. I wish it was Kelsey. No, it was who. It was Hooper and Swain got a lot more snaps than him, but I agree. He is a weapon. Find a way to get him the ball. I mean, Malik Willis is a weapon running the ball. Find a way to use that if he's going to be on the field, you know, things like that. I like this. This has kind of been a theme. It's a first half. There's a lot of stuff I liked out of the Titans from Downing. Like, I liked the creativity. And then in the second half, I really didn't. Ultimately, like, you kind of have to default more to just, okay, 22, bail us out, run over somebody, you know? And I just don't think they did that enough. But look, I mean, this, if it's going to be this, someone's asking the text line about Burks. That's one thing. Get him back, receiver screens, something. Like, you gotta have some kind of presence and production from an entire receiving core to win an NFL game. Again, you could look at this like Jared from Dixon, who's like, can we all agree we have a good team and a healthy Tannehill last night's probably a W? Yeah, I mean, you could look at this game and say, this team could be pretty freaking good, but it's also like the deficiencies right now are just glaring.
Well, and they flashed this graphic up last night on the broadcast on Sunday Night Football. The Titans have 9 points in the fourth quarter of the entire season. 9. And there are a ton of reasons that go into that. I realize that. They have obvious deficiencies with their personnel. The last couple of games, they've had obvious deficiencies at quarterback with Malik Willis in there. But at some point, like, it's, you're looking at Todd Downing, like, come on, man. 9 points in the fourth quarter the whole year? It's got to be better than that. And it's your job as an offensive coordinator to figure that out. And he's failing. I mean, he's failing in the second half. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Look, it's, you know, had some heated arguments already this year with some people who, like, I think there's some people who are so out on him, it doesn't matter what happens, you want to pin the blame on him. There's roster deficiencies here. I guess almost like right now, it's like some people are like, let's put it all on J-Rob. AJ gets traded, no left tack, all this stuff, or put it all on Downing. I mean, I think it's a blend, but yeah. I don't think you can just take responsibility away from Downing for the overall trend of just bad second half offense. There's a consistent just downturn in offensive production and execution that you have to look at him for some of it.
So what did this game tell us about where the Titans fit into the picture in the AFC? We'll get to more of that coming up next. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
I have had no luck lately. Wait. Lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.